This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
And then we complain about the state of our affairs or our weakness or our yani. طيب جزاكم الله خيرا. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يوفقنا لكل خير. I know there are many questions about this subject, but as I said, tonight I want you to leave home with these benefits, 11 benefits that I mentioned. I don't want you to think about sunnah mu'akkada or fard kifaya or wajib. Yeah, and you can study these things later on. We can talk about them on a different occasion. Even though if you want me to talk about why I feel that it could be an obligation, I can tell you that. The proofs of the ulama who've said that it could be an obligation. Like Abdullah ibn Ubi Maktoum, he was a blind man, right? And he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm a blind man. And Medina is full of beasts and insects. And I don't find someone, a guide, to help me make it to the masjid. He's blind. He was blind. He said, I don't find someone to help me bring me to the masjid. Do you find a rukhsa for me to pray at home? Permission. So he said, yes. Then when he left, Rasulullah ﷺ called him again. And he said, do you hear the adhan? He said, Abdullah ibn Umm Maktoum said, yes. And he said, فَأَجِبْ. Then respond to the call. Respond to the call. Ma'atha, come to the masjid and pray with Muslims. This is one of their proofs. طيب, جزاكم الله خير. تفضل أخي.
Do we need to keep all this in mind?
نعم.
Do we need to keep all this in mind when we prepare Salah, all these benefits? Or is something that we reward for our benefit?
يعني, when you expect the reward, الاحتساب, will increase, I mean, you get some benefits for thinking about the rewards. Instead of using it as a social habit, like it's part of my culture. My people go to the masjid, I go to the masjid. That's the difference between the true believers and those who, they don't think about the rewards. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam talks about the rewards. Remember Ramadan, من صام رمضان, من قام رمضان, إيمانا واحتسابا, من صام إيمانا واحتسابا, with faith and expecting the rewards, thinking about the rewards. So when you think about the rewards, you'll be excited, motivated to do things.
Is there a way to get the reward from previous salahs like this or not?
Getting what?
So can I get the reward of this for salahs that I made in the past in the masjid? Is it
the reward for ihtisab?
Yeah.
For thinking about the rewards to kada? Allahu alam. I don't know. Tafadhal Ashur. We'll go, we'll start with the right side. Yeah, that's a good question. The brother is saying, now, you stated, we're talking tonight about the benefits and the rewards of praying in the house of Allah, in the masjid. How about the one who prays at home with his wife, with his children? They have a jama'ah at home. Or they pray at work. Now, there are two opinions about it. There are some ulama, they said, the people will get the rewards for every jama'ah in any place. Yani these rewards are given to anyone who prays in jama'ah. He doesn't pray by himself. Even if he prays in his shop or at home or outside anywhere. The second opinion, they said actually Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking here about the jama'ah offered in the masjid. What is the dalil? The first hadith that I mentioned. And this is the opinion of Ibn Hajar. Ibn Hajar, rahmatullahi alayhi, al-Asqalani, is a great scholar. He's the one who explained this hadith because they are in al-Bukhari. He said Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned al-masjid. He makes wudu at home properly and then proceeds towards the masjid. Right? And the other hadith, Bashir al-Mashya'in, give glad tidings to those who walk to the masjid. Who walk to the masajid in the dark. You know, so Rasulullah ﷺ is talking here in this hadith, إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ, the ayah that I mentioned in Surah Tawbah. The houses of Allah are only maintained by those who believe in Allah and the day and the last day and every and so on. So the hadith and the ayat are talking about masajid. So that's why we have a group of scholars who believe, no, this is the jama'ah that is taking place in the masjid. And this is the opinion of many contemporary scholars. They don't agree with those who offer mathan salat at their place of work or in their houses, and even though if like prayed in jama'ah, they don't agree with that. They said Rasulullah ﷺ meant the jama'ah of the masjid. Now let's give me a chance to someone else. Yeah.
How do we differentiate now between a masjid and a masallah? Like is that hadith?
There is no difference. Because a masjid is a place of sujood, and a musalla is a place of sujood. People distinguish between musalla and a masjid. At the time of Rasulullah ﷺ, they used to, مثلا, call the place in which they perform Salat al-Eid musalla al-Eid. But it was an open place in the field. It was not a proper place, and they call it musalla al-Eid. So, if you go to any musalla, like here, مثلا, this is a masjid. We pray in it the five daily prayers, we do Jum'ah and everything. You go to any musalla and the jama'ah is being done with the imam, adhan and iqama, inshallah, bi'idhnillah, you get the rewards. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam.
Just to clarify, you said that signs of hypocrisy include people missing Fajr and Maghrib and Isha. So in my case, I'm clarifying because I do try to make it at least once or twice with Jama'at, but you know the schedule. So do you think in my case, am I technically, because I'm not trying all the time to make it, is that a sign of weakness of faith? Or because the way the lifestyle here is, because I do try to make it for...
I actually answered this question. The brother is saying, like, trying my best with Maghrib and Isha and Fajr, but I don't pray all of them in the masjid. Is it a sign of weakness of Iman? I don't want to look at it this way at this time. This is what I said. At the time of Rasulullah ﷺ, he clearly said it. He said, this is the difference between us and the munafiqeen. It's very hard for them to attend Isha and Fajr. But as I said, people nowadays, they are getting different instructions, different, you know, opinions. Mm-hmm. And they are confused about it. But I would tell you, if you know these benefits...
Yeah, so it's better to try to...
Of course.
Second thing is...
And you make it habitual, it will be easy.
Yeah, I know, I was working, because before I could barely make it to one, now it's, mashallah, it's getting better. But second thing is that whole onion and garlic thing, because... In our cuisine from Pakistan, that's like, you know, it's included in everything, so...
If they are well cooked, your brother is talking about garlic and onion. If they are well cooked, it should be fine.
Okay.
And this is the fatwa of Umar ibn Khattab. He said, cook them very well, if you want to eat them and come to the masjid. But if they are fresh, no, you shouldn't come to the masjid. If you eat them fresh, they are in salad or something, yani don't come to the masjid. You should know. You should be able to know, yani.
I have the same question actually on the onions and garlic. If you eat it and then if you brush your teeth, you can come to the masjid. There's a time period where you need to stay home and then miss that salah, miss that jama'ah prayer, and then come for the next one.
If you are in doubt, don't come to the masjid. It's better to stay at home because you have an excuse. This is a valid excuse. I'm not saying it's haram to eat onion and garlic. It's not haram. It's halal to eat them. But Rasulullah ﷺ, he said, if you eat them, don't come to the masjid. But they're halal.
More about two groups of people. Some people, they're lazy to go to the masjid, so they eat garlic and onion. Another group, they don't like the khatib, so they'll eat garlic and onion before.
So they eat onion and garlic on purpose. MashaAllah. Shaitan, I told you today, Shaitan is trying his best with people. You cannot make up an excuse. You cannot, unless it is there, like food. If food is served, it's okay. Your wife tells you food is ready. Okay, that's fine. This is a valid excuse.
Is it better to avoid it? Like, if the prayer is in half an hour, someone says you refreshment and maybe leave it alone?
I don't want to make it difficult on people, because then I like to enjoy, to benefit from the rukhas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah gives you a rukhsa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it an excuse. Don't try to avoid it. It's nice. You will enjoy the rahmah, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this deen. Take it easy. If you are tired, extremely tired, like sick, cannot come, so yani, you are worried about the road conditions, the weather conditions, you are eating your food with your family, that's okay. These are valid excuses. Yeah. But eating garlic with the purpose of avoiding Salat al-Jama'ah, it's silly. And I'm sorry to say this, but... And the khatib is not giving khutbah, the imam. You're talking about Jum'ah?
Some people like...
You mean they don't like the imam?
That's
a good point, actually. You know, the ulama of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, there is an agreement between all the ulama of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. It's an agreement, ijma', that Muslims are supposed to go to the masjid. Look, and from this you understand the importance of praying in the masjid. They said Muslims are supposed to pray behind a fasiq, a sinful imam, or someone who has a bid'ah. He's known for his own bid'ah, as long as his bid'ah does not take him out of the fold of Islam. Yani, even if he's a man of bid'ah, of innovations, or he's fasiq, and he's leading the prayer, he was appointed by the government, or appointed by the Ministry of Religious Affairs, or appointed by some other people in the masjid, and you can do nothing about it. Keep quiet and go and offer your salat with the jama'ah. You will get your rewards. Have nothing to do with his personal life, with his problems, with his issues as an imam. You get your hasanat. This is an ijma' made by all the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, to show the importance of praying in the masjid. Unless you know that the imam is not Muslim, like he has a crazy belief or something, then that's a different story. And it's very difficult to label someone as a kafir or non-Muslim. Yes?
Sheikh, based on what you said, last year I went back home to Chad, and then I went to the village. At the village, it was a Jummah, when we went to the Jummah prayer, a lot of people did not come to the mosque. And when I asked why, they said the imam always makes the khutbah in Arabic. They don't understand nothing in Arabic.
Okay.
So they said, every time you go to the mosque, we're not learning anything. So what's the point of going? They pray normal Jum'ah at home.
They pray Dhuhr at home?
Yes, they pray Jum'ah at home.
This is a big mistake. Even though this imam is supposed to do his Friday khutbah with their own language. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِن رَسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ. We never sent a messenger except with the tongue, the mother tongue of his own people. Every messenger used to speak the language of his own people. So now all the ulama, except in the Hanafi school of thought, they said that Friday prayer could be delivered in any language, except in the Hanafi school of thought. Is he a Hanafi? In Chad, they are not Hanafis.
No, there are some Tijanis.
Yeah. In the Hanafi, that's why in the Hanafi masajid, they do what? They do a bayan in English or Urdu. And then the imam would stand up on the minbar and deliver his khutbah in pure Arabic. Even though he knows that the people... One time I was in overseas, in a country. And the masjid was full with brothers from Pakistan, India, from different countries. But all of them do not understand. I was maybe the only one who understand Arabic. And the imam gave a long khutbah in Arabic. And I was amazed, yani. What's the point? What's the point of delivering a speech with a language people don't understand? So the imam here, obviously, is making a mistake. He should speak the language of his own people. But these people are making a bigger mistake. Because at least they should attend, get the blessing of... the Jumu'ah, and it is an obligation upon them to attend Jumu'ah. Another question, tafadhal akhi.
I have one question about what if Muslims buy like a place of fitna, say like a liquor store or a bar, if it's very close to it?
Yani a liquor store beside the masjid?
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't affect the masjid, but it's better if not to have a masjid in this area, beside the liquor store. But it doesn't affect the prayers of people. But fitna, if you talk about other political fitna, it's a different story. Yeah.
Praying like jama'ah at home with the family from time to time, is it permissible? And do you get the same reward?
Well, I explained myself. I said the ulama are talking of here, Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned going to the masjid. Those who go to the masjid, walk to the masjid. You don't get this reward for praying at home.
No, the 25 daraja, because you're praying jama'ah.
Yeah. And I am inclined towards the other group of scholars who said, I'm inclined towards the other group of scholars who said that you get these rewards, this multiplication of rewards for praying in the masjid, not praying jama'ah at home. You can pray jama'ah at home. I mean, you'll have time to pray jama'ah at home when you are extremely tired, sick, or you miss the prayer. Yeah, there is no way for you. But then you go to use the washroom and make wudu, and it takes you time. I mean, there's no way for you to attend Jum'ah. You pray at home. You had an excuse. Alhamdulillah. You thought that you'll be making wudu for in 5 minutes, and you end up using the washroom for half an hour. For some health reasons, some problems. Alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghafoor rahim. But you don't get the same rewards. All these rewards might, Allahu a'lam. If you have a valid excuse, you get... Do you get the same rewards? Allahu a'lam. And I believe that you could, if it is an obligation, you could be relieved from the ithm. Because the ulama who said it is an obligation to pray in the masjid, he said those who pray on purpose in the house, their salat will be accepted with the ithm. يعني صحة وأثمة. Their salat is valid from a juristic point of view. It's valid. They don't have to do it again. But with some ithm. That is their opinion.
So the excuse
release
the ithm.
Okay, when you have an excuse, there is no ithm. But do you get those rewards? Allahu ta'ala alam.
Shaykh, if I come to the masjid and I see one brother is praying, I'm not sure if he's praying farz or sunnah. Should I still join him or?
You can join him, yeah. Yeah, that's fine. To get the rewards of praying together, yani. Yeah.
Even if he's praying sunnah.
Yeah, even if he's praying sunnah, yeah. What is the dalil? Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu used to pray Isha with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was his farida, his Isha. He used to go to his neighborhood. They had small masjid there or small musalla. And he used to be the imam, praying Isha again with his own people. Look, subhanallah, these people are amazing. Yani instead of going home, I prayed with Rasulullah now, should be going home. It's Isha, night time. Going again to the masjid in his neighborhood, praying Isha as an imam, and he used to pray with Al-Baqarah. Recite Surah Al-Baqarah until a young man who was very tired. He used to take care of cattle during the day and everything. He was a shepherd, I think. He didn't like it, and he got upset. And one time he left. Yani he quit the salat with Mu'adh, and he prayed by himself in the masjid. And then he went, the next day he went to Rasulullah ﷺ and complained. He complained to Rasulullah ﷺ about Mu'adh. So Rasulullah ﷺ blamed Mu'adh. He did not blame that young man. Afatanun. Are you making fitna, O Mu'adh? If you lead prayer in Isha, and this is a message to every imam or everyone who leads the Isha prayer. And Rasulullah ﷺ used to recite more verses in Surah Al-Fajr. 60 to 100, even though we don't do it these days, but that was his sunnah. But Isha, he used to pray, recite sabbih, or one page, like four or five long ayat, or sabbih, or shamsi wa duhaha, or layli idha yaghsha, those surahs. That was his sunnah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let me finish with the brother. Who was talking? You finished?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. If these benefits are not going to motivate you, I don't know what could motivate you. I'm telling you, you'll be treated as a special guest on the Day of Judgment. With every step, you will get a daraja and one of your sins is erased. The malaika will be praying for you. So what do you want more than that? Of course, يعني, if you feel like you are weak, you are lazy, keep saying this dua, Allahumma inni ala dhikrik wa shukrik wa husni ibadatik. That was the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Mu'adh ibn Jabal. قال له إني أحبك يا معاذ. Here in this story he said, أَفَتَّانٌ أَنْتَ يَا مُعَاذ. It doesn't mean that he hates Mu'adh. He was giving him nasiha, but on a different occasion, he said, إني أحبك يا معاذ. He used to love him. Mu'adh was a great faqih, by the way. But no one is perfect. No one is perfect. He was a new Muslim, but he was a great scholar and great faqih. And after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi advised him to shorten his prayers, Isha prayer, he started shortening them, following the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One time he said, إِنِّي أُحِبُّكَ يَا مُعَاذ فَلَا تَدَعَنَّ أَن تَقُولَ فِي دُبُورِ كُلِّ صَلَاتِ اللَّهُمَّ عِنِّي عَلَى ذِكْرِكَ وَشُكْرِكَ وَحُسْنِ عِبَادَتِكَ. He said, don't forget to say at the end of every salat, اللَّهُمَّ عِنِّي عَلَى ذِكْرِكَ, O Allah, help me to remember you, وَشُكْرِكَ, to thank you, وَحُسْنِ عِبَادَتِكَ, and to worship you in the best way. So when you keep saying this dua, Allah will help you, inshallah, come to the masjid. You are one of the brothers who come all the time, mashallah. Yani, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for that. Tafadhal, akhi. Kum salam.
Out of the topic for the location for the masjid, if, for example, the masjid is given by the all kanisa location, can we build masjid or pray in that masjid? What do you think?
I didn't understand.
For example, the city make area for only for place of worship among the Buddha and Christian.
Oh, it's a multi-faith room.
No, multi-faith area, and they allow you to build the masjid next to the kanisa or this.
But you build, it's a masjid, it's a separate building, right? A separate building. Huh? Yeah. This is a masjid. There's a big difference between those multi-faith rooms in airports and hospitals. You're not talking about these ones.
No.
Talking about a separate building in an area where we have churches and temples, and that's okay.
In Toronto and Ontario, they have an area that they only make it if you want to...
For places of worship. Yeah, and you build a masjid there, right? As long as it is a separate building, that's fine. There's no problem with that. And you are not going to lose any reward for that. Have nothing to do with it. You live in a multicultural society, that's fine. Allah, I'm not sure. It doesn't seem a permanent place, like a permanent place, right? You don't have Jum'ah there and...
No, there's no Jum'ah, but it's only for the prayers, like only for the Muslims.
It's only for Muslims.
Only for the Muslims, and we make Jum'ah there, but it's not like, we have a
certain time. Allahu A'lam. You could have an excuse, it could be an excuse for you, because that's very far. If you are there waiting for customers, wallah, it could be very difficult for you to... drive to any closed masjid. Yani, if you have a masjid in the area, yes, you will have no excuse. That wouldn't be an alternative. But in your case, Allahu A'lam, you don't have a masjid around in that area. And I think it could be an excuse, Wallahu Ta'ala. Wallahu A'lam, yani. Yeah, go ahead. Wallahi, this is a, how far it is a masjid. If you are asking about measurement, I don't have a clear idea about it. There are different opinions about it. But the criteria at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, are you able to hear the adhan or not? That was the criteria at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if someone does not hear the adhan, he could have an excuse. That means he lives far away from the masjid. Wallahu ta'ala. But as far as our conditions here in town, I believe that driving for 10 minutes or even 15 minutes is not a big deal. It's not an excuse. Because many brothers have told me that, you know, I have to drive like 10, 15 minutes to the masjid. It's not a big deal for the sake of Allah, for the sake of reaping this, collecting these rewards and hasanat.
Well, let's say if you do have to drive 15 minutes or 20 minutes, would it be an excuse to only go once a day?
And I would encourage you to go as much as you can. Wallahu ta'ala alam. And if the person feels like he could be lazy by living far from the masjid, this will prevent him from going to the masjid, he should look for another house. If he's renting, should rent another place. Even if he owns his house, for the sake to be close to the masjid, why not selling your house and buying another house beside any masjid? There are many people actually who do it, and they enjoy it and they are happy about it. They say, like, I own a house beside the masjid, and you see them like in Southwest Masjid, مثلا, see them coming to the masjid all the time and they're happy about it. And there are people who live beside the masjid and they don't come. It's a blessing that is given, hidayah, guidance given to some people by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I said, people, wallahi, I've seen people coming to the weekend school to pick up their children at dhuhr time, 1 o'clock, and the jama'ah is, yani, people are praying jama'ah at dhuhr, and he would pick up his children and leave. I've seen it with my eyes. People doing renovation work, as I said, working in the backyard of the masjid, and the jama'ah is, people are praying, and then they have different, and you talk to them, they would try to, some of them, they will say, okay, inshallah, inshallah, or make dua for me. What are you going to do? Now, our job is to convey the message. You give nasiha, and that's it. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتِ. Well, there are many social benefits. I didn't talk about them today.
Yeah.
There is no doubt when you keep coming to the masjid, you will strengthen your relationship with the rest of the brothers. And you'll develop a sense of ownership. The people who keep coming to the masjid, you see them sometimes giving nasiha, trying to help with something. They come up with new ideas about programs. They feel like they belong to the masjid. And the people who come once in a while, they don't have that feeling. And some of them will tell you, I went to the masjid and I didn't feel like I was welcomed. Hey, welcome. This is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whom you are expecting you to welcome you in the masjid? You want the imam to place a red carpet for you? I mean, we hear this statement. And this is the house of Allah. It's your individual responsibility. Come to the masjid. It belongs to you. This is your masjid. And I'm not talking about this masjid, ya ikhwan. I'm talking about any masjid. I'm talking, you live in Northwest, in Southwest. I'm talking about any masjid. I'm talking about all the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not talking about this place. If you live beside this place, you are welcome. You should come. You should be here all the time with us. But if you live in a different area, then you should be going to your masjid in your area all the time and be part of the masjid and help them and give nasiha. And you'll be a member, a strong member of the community. Those are the social benefits. You know, Rasulullah used to ask about the sahaba who don't show up. They would ask, but then I didn't see so and so for 3 or 4 days. And they would tell him, oh, he was sick. He's sick, and they go and visit him. You know, we know people who died in this country, and no one knew about them. One guy in Montreal, he died in his apartment building, in his apartment. And then they found out 1 week or 2 weeks after he passed away. But if he comes to the masjid, people will miss him if he comes to the masjid all the time. We know people, one time here they were doing janazah, Muslims in Akram Jum'ah, they were trying to pray janazah on someone, and then they brought him in, and people start asking, who is this? Who is this man, and what's his name? And no one knew his name, no one knew, like they wanted to make dua for him, and they didn't know his name. Ah, they said he has a wife and a daughter outside the masjid, but no one knew who he was. So, I mean, how do you expect people to know you, to pray janazah, to make dua for you if you don't show up, you don't come to the masjid. And one of the benefits is also, on the Day of Judgment, some of the pious people will be granted the power to make shafa'ah, intercession on behalf of their brothers. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send some Muslims because of their sins to hellfire, to be clear about it. This is what the hadith says. Some people will be sent to hellfire. And some of their companions and friends, close friends, they will be begging Allah, "Oh Allah, they used to pray with us." Look at their statement. "Oh Allah, they used to fast with us. Oh Allah." So asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow them, to give them the power of intercession, shafa'ah, and then Allah would allow them, who would tell them, go inside and take them out. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forbid the fire from burning those people, those pious people who are coming and looking for their friends and companions. He will, it's easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do it. He stopped the fire from burning Ibrahim alayhi salam, so it's easy for him to do it. So they will look inside and look for them, they will find them, and they will take them out. This is a type of shafa'ah that will be given not to prophets and messengers, to pious people who used to do good, used to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, perform a'mal as-saliha in this dunya, and they will remember their friends and their family members. Yeah, you catch the reward of Jama'ah. The brother is asking about how can we catch the reward of the Jama'ah if we are late, if we're coming late to Salat. You catch the reward of the Jama'ah if you catch one rak'ah with the Imam. Afwan, if you join the Jama'ah while the Imam is doing the last tashahud, the rewards are gone. There is no reward for Jama'ah. So if you catch one rak'ah and the Imam مثلا, was doing ruku' of the last rak'ah, and you made ruku' with him, then alhamdulillah. Now,
you mentioned that the hadith, Bashar al-Shaykh, that you felt it's not authentic.
Yeah, I just got some ulama, they said it could be weak. They had different statement about it. And lately I found out that Sheikh al-Albani said it's sahih. So I felt, Sheikh al-Albani is an expert in hadith, so I felt it could be sahih. The other four, the brother is asking about the seven groups who will be under the shade of Allah's throne on the Day of Judgment. So we said the first one is just ruler. And the second one we said the youth who grew up in the worship of Allah. And the third, a man whose heart is attached to the masjid. They said the fourth man is two people who loved each other for the sake of Allah. The meeting on that and departing upon that. They loved each other for the sake of Allah. There is no other connection between them. Yani they don't belong to the same country. They don't belong to the same culture, the same qabila. They don't speak the same language, maybe. Maybe they are from different countries, but they are Muslims. They meet in the masjid, مثلا, and they love each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no other interest in between them. Because people might love each other for the sake of something else, like مثلا, they have the same interest. They watch, both of them like to watch basketball games or hockey games, or you know what I mean? And they keep talking about it. That's a different issue. But these two people loved each other for the sake of Allah. And a man who was invited by a woman of beauty and position to commit illegal intercourse. And he said, "I fear Allah." So that's number five. And a man who gave in charity, who donated in charity, and he hides it, he hides his charity to the extent that his left hand did not know what his right hand has given. So he was trying his best to hide his charity, his donation. And the last one, number seven, is a man who remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in private, and he shed tears. Remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by himself, because if you shed tears in front of people, Shaitan might come to you and say, oh, trying to, you're fake, or trying to make yourself look pious and good in front of people. So don't shed tears in front of people. But this man is doing it by in privacy. So it is an indication of his ikhlas and sincerity. He felt, remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-akhirah, his relationship with Allah. And then he was shedding tears. So it's easier, right? It's not very difficult. Yeah, some of them are not very difficult, right? Like the donation part and loving someone for the sake of Allah. What's wrong with you love your brother for the sake of Allah? He's a good, he's a pious man, I love him for the sake of Allah. It's easy, right? You just pay attention to these things and then inshallah you get this reward. Na'am, I think, okay, the last 2 minutes, because we should stop here. 9:45. What is? I answered this question. I don't have, if you are asking about measurement.
No.
Oh, qasr. Oh, qasr. Okay, the four madhahib, before madhahib, they said it is 48 miles, which is 83 kilometers. From the city, and from Calgary to Edmonton, it's 300 kilometers. But if you are traveling to a place that is located more than 80 kilometers, then it is a valid, legitimate travel, and you can start shortening your prayers or making jam'ah if you want. How are you going to calculate from your house? I mean, it's difficult, right? You Google? How about people in the old days? They didn't have Google and didn't have these maps, and it's difficult. They are trying to make it difficult to yourself. From your town, that you start benefiting from this ruchas the moment you leave the boundaries of your city. You cannot make benefit from this ruchsa while still in town. Even if you are in the airport, you are about to take the plane. You don't shorten your prayer until you take the plane and the plane leaves the city limits. And then you can benefit from this ruchas if you are going for a long trip, 80 kilometers and above. Okay, one question left. Tfadhal, yakhi. Smoking? Okay. You know, eating garlic and onions is not haram. And I believe, here I'm not inclined, I believe that smoking is haram. Is a sin. حُلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتُ وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهُمُ الْخَبَائِثُ. I believe that smoking is one of the khaba'ith. It has a bad smell, waste of money. It will hurt you, you hurt your health. It might hurt your marital relationship, your relationship with your family members. So there is no good. There is no. I don't see any benefit in smoking. Social benefits. There are social benefits in drinking, wine drinking, and gambling. Right, but this is not an excuse. Yeah. Social benefits. Yeah, people get together and they smoke together and. It is haram. So, yes, if the smell is very strong, the person who, and it happened to me, I prayed beside someone who just had a cigarette, I think, and the smell was very strong. And it was very disturbing. I was disturbed in my salat. I didn't have khushu'. So when you do that, or I do that, actually I will be hurting people around me. I'll be offending the malaika in the masjid. And we are not supposed to do it because it is haram. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Jazakumullahu khayran. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Regarding women, our sisters, I have to be clear about it. Yani Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تمنعوا إماء الله مساجد الله وإن كانت صلاتهن في بيوتهن خير لهن. Yani he said, do not prevent women from coming to the masajid even though their salat in their houses is better than their prayer in the masjid, their salat in their houses is better than their salat in the masjid. This is the instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Does she get rewards? Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is generous. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will treat everyone with justice on the day of judgment. It is the sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that is saying that it is better for you, O Amat Allah, female slave of Allah, that you pray at home. You perform your salat at home. But if you want to come to the masjid, you are welcome. This is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it clear, did not prevent them from, did not stop them from going to the masjid. Even though their salat in their houses is better than praying in the masjid, wallahu ta'ala alam. Coming to the halaqat is better for them because they don't have, you know, opportunity. It's a good opportunity for our sisters to meet each other, come to the halaqa and listen to the halaqat. It's good. But praying the 5 daily prayers, maybe it's better for them to pray in their houses based on the instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Jazakumullahu khairan.